الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا 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 أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous dars, we had discussed up to the verse يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, on the day when mankind will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. It's mentioned in the ahadith that on this day people will be naked, bareheaded, and in a state of great anxiety and fear. In one hadith of Bukhari Sharif, on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ is the day of Qiyamah. He says on that day, some people will be in such a dire circumstance that they will be drowning in their sweat up to their ears. This is in Bukhari Sharif. In another hadith, it's mentioned that the sun on the day of Qiyamah will be at a distance of 1 or 2 miles away. Yeah, and sometimes, just for some sort of perspective, we go to a very hot country in the summertime, and our health is at risk. In the middle of the day, we struggle to comprehend anything at all. So imagine the kind of heat that we will face on the day of Qiyamah, when the sun will be just 1 or 2 miles away. And according to the A'mal, some people, is mentioned in the hadith, that some people will be, the sweat will be coming up to their feet, up to their waists, and some will be drowning in their sweat based on the severity of the situation. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do the things that will bring His mercy and happiness, and stay away from those things that will invoke His anger. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. In addition to this, a hadith mentioned that mankind will have to wait, simply wait for a prolonged period of time before the actual accounting will start, how long will mankind have to wait? There are various ahadith with regards to this. Some ahadith mention that mankind will have to wait for 70 years. Some ahadith mention that mankind will have to wait for 300 years. Some ahadith mention that mankind will have to wait 10,000 years. Some ahadith mention that mankind will have to wait 40,000 years. And some ahadith mention that mankind will have to wait for 50,000 years before the accounting begins. And there is a very famous, beautiful ahadith, in fact, with regards to this, that when mankind will be in this state, they will go to Adam alayhi salam and they'll say that you are the first, you are our father, you are the first human, you Allah created you. Go to Allah and intercede on our behalf and ask Allah to, begin the accounting. And Adam alayhi salam will, say that, I committed the forbidden act and today I am remembering this action and I have never seen Allah this angry as He is today. Idhabu ila ghayri, idhabu ila Nuh. Go to somebody besides me, go to Nuh alayhi salam. And likewise, they'll go to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. And he'll say, he'll remember his actions mentioned in the Holy Quran in the 12th juz as well with regards to his son. Go to somebody else besides me, go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Likewise, they'll go to various different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Eventually, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will say that go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will stand up. He will go in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will fall into prostration. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send revelation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And certain words of hamd and praise will be revealed at that moment. The Prophet in the hadith says that even I don't know what those words will be. I will be given them words at that moment and I will praise Allah and Allah's anger will cool. And this is known as Maqami Mahmood and it's known as Ash-Shafa'atul Kubra. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Sal tu'ta was. Washfa' to shafa', that ask me, O Muhammad, ask me what you want, I will give to you and intercede and your intercession will be accepted. So this is the great, great status of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We owe him everything that we have today, every single blessing we owe to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without him we would be nothing and every single blessing in the future we owe to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should try our very best to send as many durood sharif as we can upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned by Umm Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once that when you wake up in the morning, what supplications do you recite? So one of them was Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ad-diqi yawm al-qiyamah, min ad-diqi yawm al-qiyamah. That, O Allah, I ask you, I seek refuge in you from the tightness and the restriction of the day of Qiyamah. And this is in relation to what we mentioned last week, that the day of Qiyamah will be so tight that every person will only have enough space to put his feet. That's how restricted the space will be on the day of Qiyamah. So this dua is related to what we mentioned last week. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blesses us with space on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So moving on from this now, with the warning with regards to the day of Qiyamah, now what happens is when the believers, they hear this warning, their belief and their iman becomes even stronger. Whilst on the other hand, the disbelievers, their disbelief goes even worse. So from this point onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we mentioned at the very beginning of the tafsir of this surah, that the second portion of this surah is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first talks about the disbelievers, and then Allah talks about the believers. So now, because of the two groups that were formed, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent this warning to the people, Allah now addresses and describes both of these groups. So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla inna kitab al fujjari lafi sijjin. Never. Meaning, they should not act in such a way. Indeed, the books, the record of deeds of the disbelievers, of the sinners, lafi sijjin, will be in sijjin. What does sijjin mean? The word sijjin comes from sijn. And sijn is mentioned in the Quran, in the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to the prison. And the Mufassirin have written that sijn is the name of that prison which is extremely restricted and extremely tight. A very, very tight space. And in the olden days, many times they used to have prisons like this, where there used to be a well which had dried up, and then they would have turned it into a prison. So many ulama as well have suffered in this way, where they used to lower them into the well, and then every day they would send some food down, and that's it. They just had to sit there in the bottom of this well with no means of escaping. This was some types of prisons that used to exist. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the sacrifice that the ulama have given for our sake, for the sake of the ummah, for the sake of the propagation of deen. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah explains that in Jahannam, how it works is that the lower a person is in Jahannam, the tighter the space becomes as well. This is also supported by the verses of Surah At-Teen. We mentioned this probably many months ago now. Asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. So, it's mentioned over there that لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, that the disbelievers, they will be returned to the lowest of the low. So, along with being the lowest of the low, it's also the tightest parts of Jahannam. Allama Alusi rahimullah has mentioned that some are of the opinion that Sijjin, then Sijjin is the name of a book which is a compilation of all the books of the disbelievers put together in one massive book, and it will be placed in the lowest of the low stages of Jahannam. And also, we'll explain later as well, that the souls of the disbelievers also will be put with the lowest of the low books, in the lowest of the low stages of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّين, and what will make you understand what is Sijjin? كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, the inscribed book. Over here, the inscription refers to a seal. And when something is sealed, what it means is whatever is contained within it, it will not be changed. So when a person passes away, the book is sealed, there will be no addition and no subtraction to that book. And it's mentioned, obviously in the hadith it's mentioned, that there are, except for three avenues, a person leaves behind ilm, people benefit from it, so this will be added into his account of good deeds. A person leaves behind pious children who make dua for him, will be added into his account of good deeds. And a person leaves behind what we call, you know, sadqah jariyah. So he did some good things in his life, he built a masjid, he dug a well for poor people, and they were benefiting from it, then the reward of this will reach him. Besides that, there will be no deletion, no addition, subtraction from this book. In one hadith is mentioned on the authority of Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Sijjin is the lowest of the seven earths, and Illiyin is the highest of the, is on top of the seventh heaven underneath the arsh. Imam Baghawi rahimullah has mentioned this hadith. Also in one hadith is mentioned that Sijjin is a well in Jahannam. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, on that day, woe to the deniers. Wail, we mentioned, is a form of cursing, and relates to, may, you know, away to the those who deny and may, you know, bad things happen to them. It's a form of cursing that is mentioned in the Holy Quran. الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those who denied the Day of Judgment. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ, and nobody denied the Day of Judgment except every sinful transgressor. And what did they used to say? إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا, and when our verses were revealed upon them, قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, they used to say that this is the made-up tales of the people of the past. That is just stories of the people of the past, and it's all fake. You know, sometimes we hear like stories of the people of the past, and they used to say all this, you know, crazy stuff. So we, you know, just like, it doesn't really make any sense, you know. So this is what they used to say when the Quran was being recited to them. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. No. But that which they used to commit has covered their hearts with rust. This over here, what is this referring to? Rana comes from the word rain, which means contamination. It also refers to the rust that comes upon you know, metals and things like that. So, and a very good explanation to this is mentioned in the hadith of, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَخْطَأَ خَطِيئَةً نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى. Now when a person commits a sin, a black spot appears on his heart. But if he makes istighfar and he does tawbah and he repents from it, this is wiped away. However, if he doesn't, the spot will stay on his heart. And then, generally what happens is a person is in a habit of doing that bad deed, so he'll sin again. So another black dot appears on the heart. And then, likewise, if he does istighfar, he gets cleaned up. Or if he doesn't, he'll stay. And then, next time he sins, another black dot appears on the heart. And then, what will happen is, تَعْلُوا قَلْبَهُ وَهُوَ الرَّانَ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Until a time comes when the entire heart will be covered in blackness. And then the Prophet ﷺ explains that this is the ran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And, you know, an easy way to understand this is if you have a mirror, or even like, you know, our windscreen when we're driving. And if it's dirty, you can't see anything. There's no vision, yeah? And likewise, in the mirror, if it's dirty, you can't see anything. So, but when you clean it, suddenly everything becomes clear. So likewise, the heart, when we, one thing is seeing with the eyes, one thing is seeing with the heart. A person is able to, yes, just yesterday we were at Majlis with Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, and he mentioned that when a person's heart becomes opened up to Islam, yeah? So this is, the vision of the heart is a spiritual vision that looks at Islam and it understands knowledge and perceives the knowledge. And it takes in the barakat and the blessings and the spirituality of deen. So it's a different kind of vision. But if the heart is covered in dirt, then how is it able to see? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that the reason that the disbelievers are saying that this is just made up stories of the past is because their sins have covered their hearts in dirt. So they're not able to see the Quran for what it truly is. Sometimes, you know, you get a disbeliever, a non-Muslim, they don't have that many sins. So when the Quran is recited to them, it affects them quite a bit. Yeah? And the Quran has this type of effect. Once in during Dars, our Ustad, and this is a famous story as well, our Ustad Sufi Sahib mentioned the story that one day the Egyptian president, he was going to go to, you know, the Soviet. He was going to go and visit them, and they were hardcore communists. So, like, very much enemies of Islam, enemies of religion in a sense as well. So, the president, he requested Qarid al-Basit, rahimahullah, to accompany him. And then Qarid al-Basit, rahimahullah, accompanied him, and they went, and then he said before you know, their congress or whatever, and they're all communists. They said that I want to, you know, present our national music to you. And he just said it. So they said, yeah, all right, no problem. And then after that, Khalid al-Basri, rahimahullah, he asked him that, you know, you can start reciting. As far as I remember, he started to recite Ar-Rahman, Allahu A'lam. Can't remember exactly. But he said, Khalid al-Basri, rahimahullah, himself says that I closed my eyes and I started reciting. He said, by the time I finished reciting, I opened my eyes and they were all in tears. And these are hardcore communists. So the Quran has an effect on the heart, because the Quran was revealed upon the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, is so powerful. Yet, what they're saying, that when the Quran is being recited to them, they're saying that this is made up stories. So Allah is explaining the reason why this has happened is because their sins have covered their heart in dirt. So they're not able to understand the reality of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make tawbah and istighfar so our hearts can also become clean. The effect of this and the result of this for them is in the next verse. Allah says, "Kalla, innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun." No, on that day, they will be covered. They will be denied. Mahjubun, they will be covered from their Lord. What this means over here is that on the day of Qiyamah, they will not be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, based on this, they are of the opinion that on the day of Qiyamah, and they use this very verse as evidence to say that on the day of Qiyamah, we will be blessed with the vision of Allah, and meaning the ru'yatullah, meaning we'll be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will remove the veil, and we will be blessed with seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many, many sahih ahadith that establish this as well. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that سَتَرَوْنَا إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَا رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَا هَذَا الْقَمَرِ يَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that soon, oh indeed, you will soon see your Lord the way you see this moon. You know the way you see the moon, nobody has to fight to see the moon, or to get, like, you know, move out of the way, you're blocking the vision here. Everyone can sit in their place and Aram say, no problem, they can, you know, see the moon. So like that, the Prophet will explain that the way you're looking at the moon today, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, you will also be blessed with seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how this will be, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Another very interesting point I found as well, that, and this is, some of our Kabirin have mentioned this, that basically, if you say to someone that as a punishment, you're not going to get this, for example, and in this situation, it's been mentioned that they will not be able to see Allah as a punishment, whatever you're taking away from them is something that they would love. Yeah? So based on this, the Akabirin is quite a deep point. They say that this shows that all humans, Muslim or non-Muslim, have an inherent and intrinsic love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if they truly deep down hated Allah, this would be no punishment to them. Let's say, well, we don't want to see him anyway, we don't like him. Do you understand? So that love for Allah is deep down there. That's why this would be a punishment for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَهِيمِ, then indeed they will enter the blazing fire. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ, then it will be said to them, this is what you used to deny. Yeah? Along with this, they used to deny, they used to say to the good people that you're not going to get Jannah. So now in the next verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now addresses that as well. That, yeah, you're saying to the good people that they won't get Jannah. Let's talk about the good people now. Allah says, "Kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin." No, the record of the good will be in the illiyin. We mentioned already once the illiyin is on the seventh heaven underneath the arsh. So we'll go into a little bit more detail about this. Some ulama have said the word comes from ulu, which means high. And it's mentioned in the ahadith that this place, this illiyin, is underneath the arsh on top of the seventh heaven. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا إِلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ. And what will make you understand what the illiyun is? It is an inscribed book. Likewise, we mentioned already with regards to this that it's a sealed book. Nothing will be erased from this. It's sealed. And we gave the exceptions as well. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ The closest angels, al-muqarrabun, they attend the place of illiyin, and they look after and protect and preserve the books of the good people. And this is a great honor, yeah, that the closest angels have been tasked with looking after my deeds, my account of deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. When we consider the hadith regarding a martyr, it says that the soul of the person who is a martyr will be in the pockets of green birds flying in Jannah. And in Surah Yasin is mentioned the story of Habib Najjar, that it will be said to him, Udkhulul Jannah, enter into Jannah. So based on this, the fact that the souls of the martyrs will be in the pockets of green birds flying around in Jannah, and the second evidence that it will be said to Habib Najjar that you also enter into Jannah, and based on the hadith that mentioned that Illiyin is on top of the seventh heaven underneath the arsh. Also, in addition to this, we have in Surah Al-Najm, Inda Sidratil Muntaha, Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa, that they went near the lot tree, Sidratil Muntaha, in the upper realm, Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa, where Jannatul Ma'wa, the abode of Jannah, was there. So based on all of these evidences, we can gather that the Illiyin, Jannah, top of the seventh heaven, underneath the arsh, it's all one place. Jannah is also there. It's also where the Illiyin is. It's also underneath the arsh. It's also on top of the seventh heaven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with entry there and take our souls there. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. In one hadith is mentioned that إِنَّمَا نَسْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ طَيْرٌ يَعْلُقُ فِي شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يُرْجِعُهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى جَسَدِهِ يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُ اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا. I mean, it's such a beautiful hadith. So on the authority of Ka'b bin Malik, he says that Rasulullah used to say that the souls of the believers will be like birds flying amongst the trees of Jannah. Subhanallah, yeah? So the souls will be flying amongst the trees of Jannah until when? Until Allah will return them to their bodies on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. This hadith is in Nisa'i Sharif and also in Mu'atta Malik. In addition to this, there are hadith which indicate that souls will be returned to the graves. So now we have a little bit of a contradiction. Are the souls in the graves or are the souls in Jannah flying around? So there are many ways of solving this issue. One way of solving it is that there will be in Jannah, but there will be a connection between the two. There's nowadays in the world of technology, there's no issue with, you know, understanding connection. Yeah? So I could have my phone here and I could be over there and have my AirPods connected. So I'm here, but I'm there as well. I'm listening to what's happening here, but I'm stood over there. So like that, the souls will be in the Jannah, but they'll have a connection with the body as well. That's why we have all of the masail of when a person goes to the grave and he recites, then, you know, the souls can hear this person reciting. They understand that this person has sent salam to me, etc., etc. It's a whole different topic as well. Another way of putting the opinions together, Qadi Salamullah Panipati Rahimullah mentions that there are actually two types of souls. One will be in Jannah, one will be in the grave. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Innal abarara lafi na'im. Indeed, the righteous people will be in absolute bliss. Alal araiki yandurun. They will be sat upon thrones, yandurun, watching. What the thrones that are mentioned over here, is mentioned in the books of Tafsir that they will be under huge canopies. And the Mufassirin explain that what will they be watching? So some Mufassirin have said, they'll be watching over their kingdom that Allah has blessed them with. You know how a man sits in his massive house and he looks around and the trees and, you know, the nice car, and he has that pleasure and he enjoys himself and he looks around his house and he's so happy with himself. So the Jannati will look around at his kingdom, at his, you know, his wives, the Hurun'een, his trees and the streams coming down from underneath his palace. And of course, we will be happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Other Mufassireen have said that yandurun over here means that he'll be watching and looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it's been mentioned in the earlier verses. In one hadith, it's mentioned that inna adana ahla al-jannah manzilatan laman yanduru fi mulkihi masirata alfay sanatin yara aqsahu kama yara adnahu wa inna alahu laman yanduru ila Allahi fil yawmi marratain. That the lowest, the Jannati who has the lowest status, he will have such a place that he will be able to look into his kingdom masirata alfay sana, the distance of 2,000 years journey. That's how far his kingdom will be. Yeah, and his eyesight will be so powerful and strong. Yara aqsahu kama yara adnahu. Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa, Aqsa actually means furthest. So he'll be able to see the furthest point of his kingdom the same way he'll see the closest point of his kingdom. So he'll be able to see, it's not like, you know, after a bit it's just the horizon's gone. He'll be able to see every single part of his kingdom, the eyesight of a Jannati. And then it says that, so for the highest people of Jannah, they will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala two times a day. Subhanallah al-Azim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his seeing him and make us from amongst those who enter into the highest of Jannat. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Ta'arifu fi wujuhihim nadratan na'im. You will recognize the glamour of bliss on their faces. When a person is very happy, you see that, mashallah, you're looking very happy today. So the happiness will be seen on the face of the Jannati. Yusqawna min rahiqin makhtum. He will be made to drink from the sealed wine. Rahiq is a name of one of the wines of Jannah. One hadith mentioned that if a person is thirsty and you give him water to drink, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rahiqul makhtum, the wine of the sealed wine of Jannah. This hadith is mentioned is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, and it's also mentioned in Ibn Kathir. In the dunya, they have wine bottles and then they have a seal on top. So it's easier to understand in that way, but the wine of this dunya is the most vile of things, and the wine of the akhirah will be the best of drinks. The wine that is the seal of the wine in the dunya is made up of, I don't know what, but the seal of the wine of the akhirah will be made up of musk. It's mentioned, khitamuhu misk, its seal will be of musk. وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. And it's with regards to this that people of competition should compete. Yeah, so we should always try to compete with each other in doing good. That, you know, I see that this individual has prayed 4 rakats today, I'm going to pray more because I want more Jannah. Rather, what do? We instead compete in the dunya. That he's making 1 million, I want to make 2 million. Yeah, that's how we are. He's got 3-bedroom house, I want a 5-bedroom house. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is what we're supposed to be competing in, because the blessings of Jannah are forever. This dunya is for a very, very short period of time. Some Mufassireen have said that khitamuhu means its ending, meaning the last gulp of this wine will be made of the musk of Jannah. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, narration Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says that what is misk? He says it's a white drink like silver, and if a person from the world was to put his finger inside it and then remove it, the entire dunya will be able to smell the perfume of this drink. That's how powerful this drink and its smell and its taste will be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this blessing as well. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيم. And it will be blended from tasneem. What is tasneem? Tasneem is عَيْنَ يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. It's a spring from which the closest people will drink from. So basically what it is that the muqarrabun are the ones who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be able to drink from this spring directly because their status is higher. But the people who are the lower status, their wine will be mixed from tasneem. Yeah, so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with the highest of Jannah so we can get all the blessings of Jannah. In one hadith it says that when you ask for Jannah, ask for Firdaus because it's the best of Jannah. So we don't ask Allah for less. When you go to the king, you ask for big stuff. So we ask Allah for the best. May Allah bless us with Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, until this point, the situation of the people of Jannah has been mentioned and the situation of the people of Jahannam has been mentioned. From this point onwards, their situation will be discussed. It's a very short amount, so 5 more minutes, inshallah ta'ala. The situation, both of them together in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their situation. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا. Indeed, the people who sin. كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. In the dunya, they used to laugh at the believers. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. When they used to pass by them, they used to wink. Yeah? Remember once, wearing a jubbah, non-Muslims walk past, they're laughing. Oh, he's wearing a dress. So they do the laugh at us. Yeah, Allah is seeing this. Allah knows what's going on. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمُ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِمْ. When they return back to their families, they turn back, فَكِهِمْ, enjoying this mockery, this taking, making a mockery, taking the mick. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. And when they see the believers, what do they say? That these people, they are misguided. So what he's mentioning over there is that in front of the believers, their mockery would be silent, winking, sniggering. And when they go back to their families, they talk loudly, or he's like this, he's like this. You have to be careful as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِدِينَ. Even though they were not sent over them as watchmen, Allah is saying that it's not your job to say whether these people are misguided. What's it to do with you? You look after your own self. You're talking about them, but look at your own situation. You're the one that's misguided, and you're telling the person who's guided that he's misguided. What kind of situation is this? Yeah? فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that today, on the day of Qiyamah, when the believers have gone to Jannah and the disbelievers have gone to Jahannam, what will happen? فَالْيَوْمْ. Today, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the people, the believers, مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ, they will now laugh at the disbelievers. Yeah? So, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be sat on their thrones, they will be watching. Some Mufassirin mention that from where they are sat, they'll be able to see those people who used to laugh at them in the world, and they'll be burning in Jahannam, and this person in Jannah will be laughing. So you used to laugh at me in the world, look at you now, look where I am. Yeah? هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Whether the disbelievers will be rewarded for their actions. And this final part is very, very much, we can relate to it today, that on the situation of the believers, often, especially in this day and age, unfortunately, it's a very dire situation. All around the world, Muslims are being killed, left, right, and center, whether it's Muslims killing Muslims, situations like that, it's very, very sad. And the disbelievers, they're just watching, they're laughing, they're enjoying it, they control the narratives in the media. But our job today, tomorrow it'll be to laugh in Jannah, no problem. But today is to stick to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من ترك من عمل سنتي عند فساد أمتي فله أجره مئة شهيد. Yeah, that the person who sticks with the sunnah, when there's corruption in the ummah, he will be given the reward of 100 martyrs. So this is especially the time that we have to stick upon the sunnah. And sticking with the sunnah is actually the greatest form of da'wah, because the sunnah is the most beautiful way of living. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with acting upon the sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from His anger. May Allah protect us from the tightness of the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do those actions that Allah becomes happy with and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'.